You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be part of our community, head on over to missionmatters.com/community to apply. All right, so today is a very special episode. We have Simone Isfahani on the line. She is the founder and CEO over at Social Brew, and I'm also proud to announce the podcast host over at Social Brew as well. So we're going to talk about podcasting. Everybody that's been watching this show for a long time, you know I love talking about podcasting and bringing podcasters on. But then again, we're going to talk about one of my other favorite topics, which is coffee and Social Brew. We're going to get into what Simone's doing there. But before we do, we're going to start this episode the way that we start them all, with what we like to call our Mission Matters Minute. So Simone, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, experts, and enterprises. That's our mission. Simone, what mission matters to you?
My business is called Social Brew. So I sell primarily Hawaiian coffee and Hawaiian flavored pancake mixes, and I donate half of the proceeds to fighting human trafficking. So that's really the heart of my mission, is to empower marginalized communities and specifically those who have been trafficked.
Well, Simone, I've been following your work for a long time, and I'm excited to finally have you on the show. I've been listening to your show, and I'm a fan, and I definitely suggest that my audience go listen as well. But just to get us kicked off here, like, how did you get started in the entrepreneurial journey? Did you know it was going to be coffee? I guess that's what I'd ask first.
Yeah, well, thank you first for having me on this. It's always great it always makes me excited to talk about Social Brew any chance I get. I first came up with the concept when I was about to graduate college. But for me, I had no clue it was going to be coffee, honestly. I just knew I loved coffee. I kind of grew up all over the world. I lived in the Netherlands, Australia, Hawaii. So they're all kind of known for their coffee, really. Mm. And I had just the privilege of being able to have that exposure in different cultures and different types of coffee. And in college, like many students studying in the libraries late at night, you know, and wanting to socialize with friends, we really just enjoyed trying new coffee spots in the area. And so that's really where I grew my love for coffee. And in terms of the issue of human trafficking, I first really was exposed to it in college as well. My friend brought me, there was this awareness week happening on my campus, and my friend brought me to this talk. And at the end of the talk, I was sitting at the edge of my seat, and I remember the speaker just going, "Once you hear, you can't unhear." And something about that just really resonated with me. And I remember walking away from that like, okay, this is important. Like, I need to do something about this. And I was kind of fired up, you know, just researched as much as I could, spoke to FBI agents that ended up coming to my campus, volunteered for other anti-trafficking nonprofits, which eventually led me to co-lead a women's service trip to India to really get up close to the issue and work with survivors there. So yeah, that just solidified my passion, but I didn't really put the two together until I was back home in Hawaii with my dad at a new coffee spot talking about my future and what's next. And I thought, you know, what happens after care and after these women and children and everything have been through a rehabilitation program, and especially the women that, you know, are trying to get back on their feet and rebuild their lives. I just thought, wouldn't it be cool to have a coffee shop and be able to employ survivors and create those sustainable job opportunities? So it would be a stepping stone that then they could pursue, you know, whatever it is they would want to pursue, and they'd be financially independent and wouldn't be able to go back or wouldn't go back to that lifestyle. And so, yeah, that's Social Brew in a nutshell.
So I want to talk to those emerging and aspiring entrepreneurs. Like, if you could be maybe even talking to the Simone that was, you know, back in college that had this initial idea. I find often that, you know, most people want to do good in one way or another, whether it's through a nonprofit, whether it's through donating money, whether it's just, you know, helping somebody with knowledge. Like, I feel like as human beings, that's the way I see the world. Most people want to do good. But to be able to take that want to do good and then to create a company and to actually launch the company, to have a product, to be out there and to market it and to continue, and also to add a give back within the product in terms of percentage of profits, like that's a dream in itself. Like, what would you say, and like some to some of the entrepreneurs out there that are maybe watching, that maybe they'd love to do something like that, and maybe they don't think it's possible, maybe it's possible. Like, what would you say to keep them strong and kind of on their path to making their dream a reality?
Yeah, well, fortunately, I come from a line of entrepreneurs in my family, and my dad and my aunt specifically have been very important in my journey to building this company and have been my, I call them like safeguards, you know, really in building my business and my business plan. Because yeah, it's one thing to have passion, to have an idea. It's another thing to execute on that. And so I think for me, once I knew I really wanted to commit to this and go for it, I was like, okay, where do I begin? How do I build a business plan? You know, and that's, a lot of people are there. They don't have a dad that knows how to, you know, kind of show them the way. So for that, I would say practically, whether it's, I mean, usually you probably have to start in online communities, but there's a lot of communities like Mission Matters out there and different meetups and stuff where you can network with people. And I would say, find a really good advisor, find a good business mentor in whatever area, like whether it's coffee. My dad happened to have a friend who was his previous mentor when he was coming up in the corporate world, who started his own whole coffee business, has a farm out here in Temecula in California, you know, everything. And he connected me to someone who is also very influential in the coffee business. And that's where I just started, just talking, learning all about coffee. And I partially grew up in Hawaii. And so a lot of it is just making, you know, is cold calling. It's showing up. It's putting yourself out there, being vulnerable. And so I would tell people just as go scared, you know, like, don't, you know, you're never going to be fully ready to make the leap. You just have to, you have to do it scared. So,
And one of the good things, and some, well, many of the things you just said, so find a mentor, like find somebody, like, so you happen to be your father, but I'll just give you an example from my life. So when I was younger and I wanted to go into finance, my parents were like, and this is like, I'm like 16 or 15. And my parents are like, well, we don't know anything about money. Like, they knew what they didn't know. So what they did was they encouraged me to, like, they introduced me to other friends and other people that were either in that business or otherwise that were further along or understood other things. But, and that's, you know, that's quite some time ago, but now you're right. It's like meetups, all these other things, like there's information. And there, to me, there's a lot of people out there that are willing to help and that can help. But you have to be a little bit clear on your vision on what you want to accomplish, because it's hard for people to like to help you if you don't exactly know what you're asking for, right?
That's what I mean too. Just being bold, and for those who went to college, tap into your alumni network. That's also what I did. And actually, that was also what inspired me to become an entrepreneur, is my friend kind of convinced me to join her team for this startup competition in the business school at my college when I was there. And that was kind of what also sparked this, where I was like, oh, I kind of have this passion for business. And
it's in the blood. It was in the blood.
Yeah, it was. And I kind of ran away from it, honestly, for a while. But once I realized I could have
sucked you back.
Well, like that I could have a business with a greater impact. I think I was like, oh, like I'm kind of piecemealing, you know, all these people I've met over the years, but it's kind of up to me to put it all together, really, and have it make sense and resonate with other people. And so you really have to know your why going into it. That's what I always come back to, because there's going to be many times you'll get told no, it's not going to work. There's all these flaws in your business plan or whatever, yeah. You know, there's going to be so many people that have opinions. And yeah. I always say, take it with a grain of salt. There are people that genuinely are more experienced than you, and you want mm-hmm. to really hear them and take in their advice, mm-hmm. but you know what your passion is best. So you know yourself the best. So just remember that. For me, it's my faith. That's kind of my anchor in my life. Mm-hmm. So I go back to that. I pray, I meditate, you know, talk to God mm-hmm. about it. And so for me, it's that. But I think for other people, it's maybe family, friends, people that are trusted that know you. And it can be scary to say, I want to start my own thing. But just know you're in good company. There's so many people that are willing to help you, and you just may not know it yet. So
That's great. And I have that same anchor as God. And I think about it sometimes, and people give me maybe too much credit. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Do you think I planned any of this stuff? Or like, that's not even possible. If I would have told myself, yeah, I'm going to do thousands of interviews, build a media company, do this, blah, 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 blah. Like, yeah, right. I started this company in my bedroom with an iPhone. And my first podcast was essentially done on that iPhone. And I was interviewing the person I interviewed was Chirag, the other co-founder here. So to think that we were going to think that we did have thousands and thousands of people in the show and all these other things, like, no way. This is so the cool part, though, and what I see in your story, or I'm taking from it, is that you're also open to the blessings of it, right? Like, you recognize the people that are in your life, and you've established those relationships. I feel like, or as we're getting to know each other, I feel like you're somebody that takes, you know, the relationships and the people in your life pretty seriously, huh?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think life is all about community and relationships, mm-hmm. and whether you succeed or quote unquote fail in business, which nothing is ever really a failure. Yeah. You know, I heard this quote once, rejection is just a redirection. Yeah. And so I love that, because I think that's, you know, that's my relationship with God. Mm-hmm. You know, you follow a path, and then it leads to another path that leads to another path. And mm-hmm. sometimes you feel like you're flying blind, but I have enough faith that, like, God's not going to let me slip, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think it's just, yeah, for me, that's my safety net. But I think it's also, yeah, those relationships with people in your everyday life, and always being open to cultivating new relationships wherever you go. So I get into really interesting conversations just by wherever I go for coffee, or the grocery store, wherever people just naturally, you know, how's your day going? What are you up to? You know, what do you do? And then, you know, it sparks a whole conversation. And so you just never know who you're going to meet. You never know who's going to impact and inspire you as well. And you can infuse that and take that into your business. So,
yeah. Did cold calling come naturally to you? You mentioned the word cold calling. So I like to bring that up.
Absolutely not.
I have to ask that for all the, like, people out there that are like, or that are hesitant or whatever. I'm like, I ask everyone, did it come naturally? Did rejection all that? Like, how was your experience?
No, I'm not one of those people where I feel like you have to have that sort of inbuilt, like, leadership and ability to take charge. And I have had to learn how to cultivate that skill. And I still don't feel 100% confident all the time. That's why I say it's sort of like feel the fear and do it anyways.
Yeah. And that's the key, though, is that you were maybe a little scared. If anybody's not scared of cold calling the first time, I don't know what planet they're from. But if they're human, I feel like you got to be scared at least. And always, nobody can be 100% confident. So, but you did it anyway, right?
Well, and having also, it helped that I had my aunt, who is also my CFO, acting CFO right now. And so she's very good at cold calling. So I just kind of watched her, and then it's like, you know, we'll kind of tag team it and divvy it up. And it's, you know, in the coffee industry too, it's cold calling, but a lot more of it is really just showing up in person with samples, ready to give my pitch. You know, who's your food and beverage manager? Can I talk to them for 5 minutes? You know, it's really doing stuff like that. And I get nervous every time, even though I'm like, you know, I've done this now for a little bit. I launched in 2021, but really started working on it in 2020. And so, yeah, I mean, it's been a minute, but I don't think you ever really get used to it. And I think that honestly excites me because I never want to take it for granted. I never want to just get used to this. So,
yeah. I'm glad you bring that up because to me, it gives me strength and I hope it gives our audience strength as well. That if you're like, maybe somebody that's watching this, their day to day isn't necessarily, they have to cold call or go and make a sale. So that might not be the thing that scares them. It might be doing a presentation in front of people. It might be, you know, taking a leadership role in your team, but whatever it is, the point is that you did it and you continue to do it. And that day to day execution, like to me, the whole entrepreneur journey, that's the hard part, right? So you had one win, which is a good thing. Maybe you placed it into a particular coffee shop or a hotel or somebody that picked up. And now it's like, okay, that's one down. Got to do another one. How do you stay strong? How do you stay strong and focused?
Yeah. Well, again, you know, to bring it up again, it's my faith, really. It's I think entrepreneurship, especially if you don't have a co-founder yet, or you didn't launch that way, or you don't have a full-on team that you're leading. I have contractors I work with, so they are my team. But to a degree, even having my dad and my aunt Val as my business advisors, like I do find it honestly kind of isolating at times. You know, I work from home mostly outside of, you know, running orders, you know, out sometimes and obviously putting myself out there, cold calling and doing samples and all of that. But really it is about like, you have to take care of yourself first. You have to take care of your mental health, your physical health. Go back to the basics of that, because I know that if I'm not doing those things, I can't be effective in business. I won't be focused at all. And so, and you have to be, you have to hone your skills. You have to cultivate that. And I think a lot of that time, sometimes it's not all this exciting stuff that people see on social media. It's a lot of the, you know, this is the 100th email I've sent, you know, or for the sixth time with this person, or, you know, it can get just like, okay, well, you know, there's no rhythm to this and you have to create your own, but it's so worth it. And I kind of like that I don't have a 9-to-5. I kind of like that every day is a little different. And one day I could have an exciting potential meeting. The next could a networking event or like the leadership summit you guys have coming up, you know, these fun events that I get to just be around other entrepreneurs and learn from other people. So it's important to have multiple trains running at the same time, I think.
Oh my gosh, I've been waiting to share this story for the perfect moment. And I think I just found it, Simone. So when you talk about things going wrong, or you don't exactly know what's coming next. So we had and then from the outside looking in, it may always seem like everything's perfect, or that like, you know, but the day-to-day grind of it to get to that big event or that big thing that you can all celebrate, whether it's an award or this or that, whatever it is that an entrepreneur or person's being celebrated for. So at one of our last events, oh my gosh, like right before the event, we find out that their PA system's not working. And I'm like, oh my gosh, there's going to be like 100-something people here. There's going to be, we're recording it, like all this other stuff. They told us that, you know, I thought it was all supposed to be working. And according to like the pre-meetings, blah, 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 whatever, doesn't matter. But anyway, long story short, we get there, it's not happening. So I'm like, we had to pivot and literally like, I'm about to, where the event starts maybe in 2 hours, right? I'm dressed like I am now. That's normally how I go on stage when I'm hosting. Everybody else is already like has tasks. My task before the event was to like rehearse what I was supposed to ask, the questions, all of that. So I'm the only person that doesn't have a physical task. So I'm driving to Best Buy. We got like, I'm buying speakers. We're getting microphones from Guitar Center. Like they have them in stock. Thank God. I'm lugging all this big equipment back. And that's like, and I'm trying to rehearse and look at my notes and everything while I'm driving. So that's not probably the best idea.
Yeah.
But like, that's an entrepreneurial day right there. That's what I'm talking about. Now, did the guests know? No, everything went off without a hit. All the audio was fine. Everything else. If they would have just known, like hour and a half earlier, I'm in Best Buy. Like, yeah, I need that speaker. How does this work? How does and I'm lugging speakers.
I love that. I love that story because that really encapsulates the imperfections in business and just in life. You have to pivot in life. Things come up all the time and don't go according to plan. And so you have to just be willing to kind of roll with it and just do the best you can. And I think for me, the way I, you know, kind of being trained in college, at least with leadership and getting those opportunities to be in those really cool spaces. Yeah. I really learned that your vulnerability is your strength. And so I really feel that sometimes the best thing you can do is say, okay, I know you guys don't know this, but it's been a hot mess back here. We're going to do, you know, our PA system went out, but we are actually we're going to do this. And I just want you guys to know it's been a little messy here, you know?
That's
funny. I think sometimes people appreciate that because live in a world of kind of chasing perfection and idolizing that. And that's just unattainable, honestly. Yeah. And so it's like, why do an Instagram highlight reel? Like show like the real story of like, I don't have it together all the time, but I'm still going to present myself and do my best. I'm still going to show up. So that's awesome. I love that story.
So speaking of podcasts, Social Brew, like I want to get into that because I've watched some of your and listened to some of your episodes and I'm a fan of the show. I told you that even before, like we met formally and I also, that's one of the reasons I invited you on the show. I was just so inspired by some of the dialogue I heard. And so maybe just, you know, tell our audience just your concept for the show, how it's evolving and really some of your vision and how that ties in.
I'd love to. Thank you. And thank you for tuning in. It's been a step-by-step process. A lot of days I'm like, I have no clue what I'm doing. I don't know how I started this or got here. It all happens the way it's supposed to. And so it's called The Conscious Cup, hosted by me. And it's socially conscious conversations over coffee. So the premise of it is that you don't have to have it all together to do something meaningful with your life and with your work. And so that encompasses a broad spectrum of people. And so I wanted it to not just be only coffee people or only people in the nonprofit or anti-trafficking space, because I know people in that space, you know, and all of that. Right now, I'm actually doing a mini series on human trafficking to really showcase kind of my mission and vision with my company and kind of, you know, not overwhelm people, but still present the issue in an interesting way. You know, I've had all different people so far and really great stories. And so I'm just enjoying the ride, honestly, and learning a lot. And more than anything, it's a privilege and it inspires me. So.
Yeah. One of the things I found with the podcast side of things is it fills me up. Like people ask, how do I continue to do what I do? How do I, you know, keep that schedule? This is how right here, like doing this interview with you, it fills me up hearing your story, hearing your journey. It's a connection. So for people that are thinking about podcasts or how they relate, I don't know how they relate in your life, whether you're a listener or whether you wanted to start one or however, but to me, it's just that connection. Cause I feel like we learn so much from just like that connection and human value of that exchange right there. Like something new is created. So when I listen to The Conscious Cup and I think about like where that show will head and how it will evolve and how it'll grow. And then as your catalog builds year over year, I'll just project this and give you this good energy and these good vibes as your catalog builds year over year, you're going to look back and you're going to be like, so just like, and the reason why you'll get this for sure is because you already kind of look back at your life like that. And I know this because you told me as you were telling me how you built Social Brew in the beginning was going back to people you've met along the way, essentially, whether they were family or otherwise, obviously the families in your life day to day, but the other people or that you were directed to, like that you had encounters with for many years. So what's going to happen is your catalog and all the individuals that are on your show, it's going to end up being its own community of advocates and supporters for you along the way. And then they're going to share it. And then you'll have this other advocacy and these other layers that you didn't even know existed. And it's amazing. It's amazing. You look back and you're like, whoa, how did that happen? So when I see I can already tell based on the content you're creating and that who's listening to, like myself, I listened to it and that's how I became an advocate. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I gotta learn more about this. That's what the power of your show and podcasting, in my opinion, has to do. So I'm excited for your journey. And when you said it's lonely, for sure. Like, and that's why I always try to bring podcasters on the show or introduce podcasters to podcasters, because if it's just you, the mic, and your guest, or just you and the mic and you're figuring out your next guest, or you're trying to figure out the light, that's lonely. But I will tell you this, and for any community, I'm not knocking the YouTube community or any other community, but to me, the podcast community, I still haven't met a podcaster I didn't like. I met a couple people on YouTube where I'm like, you're probably a nice person, but I might not invite you over for dinner.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, well, I love listening to podcasts, but I never honestly saw myself starting a podcast. So it it came about very naturally, actually. A lot of different people, even people I didn't know, you know, those people you just business people you have encounters with, whatever. Yeah. They were like, no, you should start a podcast. Like, it was literally just like, I would get these random comments and then I'd have friends kind of mention it here and there. Mm. And I'm like, you know, that's nice and all, but nice that you think I could do that. But I really just felt like it's a crowded space. And what do I have to say that's different than anyone else? But I appreciate you, you know, and that compliment for me, because I do think that we're all unique in our own way. Yeah. We all have a unique perspective. And so, just having like friends and family be like, but it's your perspective and there's only one you. So that's, you know,
you're so right.
So,
and even the stories, and that translates to most things. So like brands, right? Like whenever I hear somebody say it's a crowded space, normally I feel like they haven't yet defined what their role within that space is. So not picking on you for saying that, by the way, I just mean like in general, like, for example, like some people would argue that the coffee space is crowded, right? But you found your niche within coffee, and you also found your niche and within your personal story that's actually super authentic to you. Nobody else could start another coffee company saying exactly the words you said with the exact same mission and deliver with the same authenticity the way that you're doing it, because that's you and that's your story. So for podcast, not just podcast, content creation in general, like that's the same thing. And to me, that's what's super special. Like you could start a blog tomorrow and it would still be uniquely you and a unique part of your journey and your identity. And hopefully it's done with the thought process, just like you're doing with the Conscious Cup and also Social Brew. Hopefully it's done with some type of mission-based focus that has a thought process on how you're going to give value to not just your audience, but also the marketplace in the world. So I think it's awesome.
Thank you.
So Simone, I know you got a lot going on, building a business, building a show, a lot of things. I just got to ask, like, what's next? I mean, what's next for you? What's next for Social Brew?
Yeah. So right now I'm very focused on the wholesale market. Mm. I'm in a couple hotels in Hawaii, including the Fairmont.
Congrats. That's a big deal. I pause entrepreneurs when they're sharing good things. Congrats.
Thank you. So that was a big get for me. Big opportunity. Yeah. So yeah, just the hotel industry surprisingly has been very open. I feel like that, you know, just hearing me out, trying samples, you know, getting my foot in the door, and especially in Hawaii, it's all about talking story, as we like to say it, and building those relationships. And I'm currently based in Santa Monica. And so I'm trying to just build that out in the LA market. So B2B, but also focusing on direct to consumer as well at the same time. Like I said, having, you know, multiple trains, you know, running at once. And so the hope is to eventually have a brick and mortar, hopefully in the next couple of years, and to be able to employ survivors through the two nonprofit partners that I work with and create those sustainable job opportunities. And I want it to not just be about, because I think human trafficking is a very heavy topic for most, that, you know, we don't like what we are uncomfortable with, right? And there's very few people that run towards that are like, I want to know, you know? And so I want to have a space in a way that it's not just another cute, trendy coffee shop that's Instagram worthy. That's great and all, but I wanted to have the mission, but also have amazing coffee. And so they're equal, in their value. And so that's what I really feel like is, you know, you just draw people in when you have a really great product. And so it's also testing the market. I've done demos. I'm in Brentwood Country Mart here. So that's my first LA presence in stores. And yeah, just looking to get it into more places, maybe like Erewhon, you know. So if anyone has connections in that world, I'm always open to casting the net wide. But yeah, maybe a pop-up and then eventually, yeah, brick and mortar. So
It's great. I'm excited to continue to watch your journey and watch your business develop and grow. That being said, if somebody wants to connect or learn more about Social Brew or also the Conscious Cup, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah. So you can go to socialbrew.us and that kind of has everything on our website. You can also follow at Sip Social Brew on Instagram and Facebook. And then at Simone_Isfahani is my personal handle. And I link it to the Conscious Cup. I'm posting about Social Brew all the time. So there, if you ever just want to chat or you have questions, I'm always open. So
awesome. And we'll put all that information in the show notes so that our audience can just click on the links and head right on over. And speaking of the audience, if this is your first time with Mission Matters or engaging in an episode, we're all about bringing on business owners, entrepreneurs, executives, and enterprises and having them share their mission, the reason behind their mission. You know, why do they do what they do? Like, what gets them, you know, up in the morning and fired up to go out there into the world and to make a difference? If that's the type of content that sounds interesting or fun or exciting to you, we welcome you. Hit that subscribe button. We have many more mission-based individuals coming up on the line, and we don't want you to miss a thing. Simone, as always, it's been so nice talking to you. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.